Greetings, Sam Nation fans. Sam Rejofsky here, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Thursday night, some very sad news out of Florida. There is a couple, a Palm Beach power pair, Dave and Lynn Ehrenberg. They are getting divorced. The reason? The reason for their marital acrimony? Trump. They are, well, I guess Lynn is a Trump supporter, and Dave is not. So they're headed for Splitsville, and they've cited the president as the reason for their for the dissolution of their marriage. I think honestly that this is happening more often than you would imagine. No, I do. I think that there are a lot of couples and probably also friendships. I know that for a fact. I certainly have had that experience personally. There are relationships that are coming undone over Trump and what's going on in politics. Expect more stories like this. This is the first recorded divorce to occur as a result of political acrimony. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. And my email me. I do check that during the show, sam@samnation.com. And we are, as always, live from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain, making radio great again. What else is going on? I promised at the end of last night's show, I promised to get back to Sessions, and because there is so much going on, I want to kind of paint the full picture of what's cooking in this crisis. So I with some degree of step back now from this. From what's happened, you know, Trump again this morning tweeted some amount of displeasure with Jeff Sessions. Let me explain at least what Trump's position is, because I think that's lost when you're following the story in the mainstream media. The story in the mainstream media is Trump is tweeting, he's criticizing his attorney general. It's bad to do that. You don't do that. I mean, you hear it on the station, too. Trump's a bad guy. He shouldn't be criticizing attorney general. You know, he got Ken Starr even coming out now saying, oh, no, bad Trump. Can't do that. So I'm going to walk you through it. And I'm going to ask, like, would you be upset if you were Trump? If you were in Trump's shoes, would you be upset with Sessions? See, it all comes back to the recusal and Trump's tweets. They all, in one shape or another, they come back to the recusal, because the recusal, when Sessions said, I ethically cannot handle anything related to Trump-Russia investigation into the election, right? It had to do with the election. And since Sessions was there from the very get-go, Sessions was an early supporter of Trump, and so he was part of the election. He was also part of the campaign, and he was also part of the transition following Trump's win in November. So the recusal, everyone talks about the recusal happening a month, roughly, into Sessions' tenure as attorney general. 1 month, roughly, give or take, from the day that Sessions was sworn in. But we know, and if we know it, Trump certainly does, that the first full day that Sessions was in office, he met with Justice Department lawyers to discuss the recusal. Which means, to me at least, it was on his brain the minute he walked in. Now, I am a thinking, sentient human being. I don't think that a big deal like okay, I'm going to be attorney general. This is a job I've always dreamed of. I mean, we know that Sessions is a guy who he wanted to be a federal judge. That got shot down. He ended up going into the Senate, long time in the Senate, was on the Judiciary Committee. This is a guy, if you know, he's a lawyer, is an extraordinary attorney. This is his dream job. By all reports, I'm telling you this as a lawyer myself, and also from what I hear from people who are close to Sessions, he's always wanted this gig. This is what he wanted. So he supports Trump early on. Presumably he, as a high-ranking early supporter of Trump during the campaign, has his, you know, dibs on top appointments. That's how this works. You support a candidate. You support him early on. If your endorsement carried weight, it typically buys you a seat at the table. And again, if you're important enough, you can pick which seat at the table you get. So Sessions, my guess is, picked this gig, or it was, you know, it's really what he wanted. I want to stress that because it's important for what comes later. All that said, I think that he knew that he was going to recuse himself before he raised his right hand to the square and swore to uphold the Constitution, all that, perform his duties, and accepted the job. So I think at the time that Sessions was being sworn in as Attorney General, he knew in his mind that he was going to have to recuse himself. The question is, did he tell the president? And if he didn't, that's messed up. I'm just going to put it out there and say it just like that. Because if you are Trump, and if you know, let's say, just humor me here for a minute, that this entire Trump-Russia thing is nothing. It's hot air. It's stupid. It's BS created by Hillary Clinton and Obama. It's just an invented, fabricated scandal. And you're the president, and you know what? He knows it, right? He either knows it or he doesn't. So let's say he knows that. What does he want from his attorney? He wants this thing to go away. That's what he expects. He expects not just, you know, service and due diligence in the job, but he also expects Sessions to have his back. And what unfolds is the complete opposite of that. Sessions announces his recusal publicly, and by some accounts, that's the first that Trump hears of it. How upset would you be if you had an employee, if you had a confidant, if you had a deputy, if you had a, I don't know, if you had a colleague, and something that big isn't told you in advance? Now, some accounts say he told him 15 minutes earlier, something like that. Either way, it gets dropped on Trump. Boom, he goes public with a decision made. He does not review the decision with the president. In my opinion, that is not okay. You have got, if you're making a tough decision, let's just assume also that the decision is absolutely right. And I have some reasons for thinking why it isn't. For example, I think that, you know, when I look at the statute, and there's a CFR code, 28 CFR 45.2. It allows for discretion. So Jeff Sessions has the discretion of whether to recuse himself, whether he thinks that there's a conflict. And it's subjected. There's a subjective test. There's not an absolute requirement for him to do so. And when the mainstream media banters about how he had to do it, it was the right thing, he had to. I'm reading the code. It's not there. I'm sorry. The law that you cite in your endless drivel about this topic is just, it doesn't back it up. Now let's go back to the law. And there's black letter law there that says that Sessions didn't have to do this. But let's just say that he did. You still know, he knew that the president, that this was a big deal for him. He knew that the president wanted him to have his back. He knew that the president was getting attacked on this issue. He knew, come on, this is Jeff Sessions. He has been excoriated by the left over and over again. His appointment to the federal bench was shanghaied over a totally fabricated racism story. This guy should know how the left operates. He should know the left like the back of his hand, his right hand, for Pete's sake. And yet, what does he do? He totally pulls a weak pink hat move, right? He pink hats this thing. If I were Trump, I would have flown out of my flippin' skin. Trump doesn't drink. You know this about him. But I would be consuming adult beverages in steady order, one after another. I may have even opened an oven and put my head in it. Because he didn't go to Trump first, and I think that is weak. I think that that is just a weak move. I've had to make tough decisions. You have had to make tough decisions. You know what I'm talking about. You know how you dread telling somebody who you know that decision is going to affect. Right? You dread it. It doesn't feel good. You've got that little thing stirring inside of you, and it just... How does it play out when you don't tell that person and then they find out later and, you know, when the decision's already been made? You understand what I'm talking about. It's not pretty. When you do tell them and you say, look, this is the deal. I have to do this. Mr. President, I got to recuse myself. I've got to do this. I'm telling you, man to man, these are my reasons. This is my reasoning as an attorney. This is my reasoning as a Christian man. Whatever nonsense he wants to put out there to justify his decision, tell the president. This is not an unreasonable expectation. I am trying to explain the president's reasoning, because in this entire discussion over Sessions and over Trump's tweeting, the Trump's position here, Trump's perspective, is not being talked about anywhere. Nobody cares to examine it. And I'm putting it before myself as a reasonable person. I'm saying, okay, if I was leading this organization, whatever organization, I don't care if it's a 10 people organization or the presidency, the West Wing, no matter how small or how large, I expect my subordinates, my colleagues, to be upfront and honest with me. So important. And if it's a big thing that's going to affect me, and give me an opportunity to give my input. This was, in my view, a significant and deliberate deception on the part of Jeff Sessions. And this is Jeff Sessions' problem to fix. Now, everybody's talking about how Jeff Sessions is going to get canned, what we have is, we have this effort by Trump to squeeze him and to get him out. That may be exactly the push. Now, a couple days ago, this is what I said on the program. I want you to listen to this. There's a little voice of mine from the past explaining what my theory was on what Trump was doing with all these, what we'll call them, abusive tweets about Sessions.
I think that at some point along the way, Sessions and Trump had a discussion that did not end well. And Trump's takeaway from it, which was probably justified, was that Sessions was being a little too high and mighty. And Trump has, he has this system when people do that to him, which is he intends to, it's not just rake them up, he intends to humble them. He did this with Bannon. He's done this with others. He did this in the business world. He intends to humble them. And it does not always mean that the relationship is terminal. In fact, most of the time it works out.
And that's what I said. Now, not all of the things I say age well, and we will see, of course, how this thing plays out. But I think you're probably wondering, okay, so we know what Trump thinks. Sam, you've explained it. Good. I get Trump's perspective. I don't necessarily agree. Whatever the case is, what does Jeff Sessions say about this? What is his take on this? I mean, I'll play that here because listen to him. Listen exactly. This is Jeff Sessions talking about Trump's criticism today on Fox News Channel, Tucker Carlson Live, and have a listen. Carlson first asks him, about the criticism, and then you'll hear Sessions reply.
You've seen the president's criticism of you. Do you think it's fair?
Well, it's kind of hurtful, but the president of the United States is a strong leader. He is determined to move this country in the direction he believes it needs to go to make us great again. And he has had a lot of criticisms, and he's steadfastly determined to get his job done, and he wants all of us to do our jobs, and that's what I intend to do.
Here's a guy, I'm just saying, sounds very humbled. And I think this is, right or wrong, this was Trump's intention. Now, I'm not here to apologize for Trump or hold water for him, but I want to explain him. I want to understand what so many have thrown their hands up in the air and said, oh, I can't figure this. This guy's nuts and insane. I always want to look for method in the madness. And I see some method to this insanity. And if you want a place to go to every night to have some explanation of this, tune in, because I'm going to give it to you. OK, don't go anywhere. I'll give more explanation on this when we come right back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm so excited. Apparently, we have a young listener who is on the phone. Kai in Tustin. Kai, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Kai, what's up, my man? How are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
Good.
How about
you? I'm doing great. So, Kai, how old are you?
9 years old.
Oh my gosh! And so now you listen to the show, huh?
Yep.
And you're so I understand you have a favorite word here on the show.
Yep.
What is that, Kai? What is it?
A money.
A money. I love it. So, well, Kai, I'm so glad you listen. I don't know. Were you listening earlier in the hour when we were starting the show?
Yep, I was.
You were. Now, I was talking about something very sad. I was talking about two people who were in a relationship. They were married. They couldn't make it work because of Trump. Now, I have a question for you. You're 9. What grade is that? Are you going into the 4th grade?
Yep.
Okay. 4th grade. You probably don't have a girlfriend yet, right?
Yeah, I don't.
No, okay. All right. Now, Kai, someday you're going to have a girlfriend. Now, I don't know. Now, are you a Trump fan? What do you think about Trump?
I think he's a pretty good guy.
Okay. What do you not like about him?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure.
Now, have you heard that he likes to tweet a lot?
Yeah, I have.
Are you on Twitter, Kai? Do you have a Twitter account or not yet? Maybe someday.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Maybe.
What do you think about his tweeting?
Just a lot of words that some I don't understand, and some I do.
Might be better that way. You might be better off. yeah. Okay. All right. I saw a lot of words. What do you think? Now, do you think Trump is a positive person? You think he's like a? What do you think? Or do you think he's a dark kind of a dark person? Where would you put him?
Yeah. Both. I think he's both.
Both. Okay.
Sometimes.
Now. Yep.
Both.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. So you kind of like Trump. Sometimes he's a little dark. Sometimes he's positive. What if you were? I don't want your mom to get too worried. We're going to go way in the future. You're like 28, okay, and you're dating.
Okay.
And the girl you're dating is, let's say she hates Trump. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be with her?
Maybe.
Maybe
I don't know.
You think you can make it work?
Yeah,
see,
maybe.
I think you're. Yeah, that's. See, this is. See, I got to, ladies and gentlemen, this is a loving guy right here. This is it. Kai, you got a big heart. See, you can make it work. Unfortunately, this couple in Florida could not make it work. But do you know what? In the divorce, he's going to give her a new BMW and $40,000 in cash.
Wow,
what do you think
that's
of that?
A lot.
That's a lot, right?
Pretty
good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. All right, so what are you doing anything fun this summer? You doing some sports? Well, you don't go to year-round school, right? You're out for the summer?
Yeah.
Living the life of Riley?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an expression. Mm-hmm. Having fun?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, listen, Kai. You keep listening. Stay on the line. We're going to make sure we get you some good merchandise here from the Sam Nation swag vault. Okay, we got to get you some gear. Okay, we'll get you hooked up, and I'm just so happy you're a listener. Thank you for calling in, Kai. I'm gonna have you back. We gotta have Kai back. All right. Good night, Kai. Thanks for calling.
Good night. Thank you.
You got it. There it is. Look, we have broad appeal here. No, what I heard he was called, this is great, right? This is great. Okay, you know who else has broad appeal? My friend, John Wolfe, and he gives it to you straight. No fake news from John Wolfe. He's up next, and I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Talk radio, talk radio. 790 KABC.
Bottom of the hour here, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com, and welcome to the program. That was cute, by the way. If you missed it, get... download the podcast on samnation.com because you'll want to hear Kai, 9 years old, calling in from Tustin and telling us some very wise some wise things. From the mouth of babes, right, is the expression. Well, the question I have, talking about sessions here, returning to this topic just briefly, if I may. The question a lot of people have is, why did Sessions recuse himself? And then, of course, if he recused himself, fine, okay. But why didn't he tell the president before he did it? Why didn't he include the president in his decision to recuse himself? And I think these two questions, by the way, go very closely hand in hand. I was explaining to you earlier how... on the first full day that he was attorney general, you know, there's a lot of important things to do, is there not? You've got leaks coming out of this White House, most of which are dead criminal. So there are walking felonies in the West Wing. There are real issues, law enforcement issues to go. And the first thing that Sessions does is he sits down with Justice Department attorneys and talks about his recusal. So he's barely been sworn in, and there he is talking about his recusal. Never mind that it happens a month later. He is thinking about it for a whole month and does not report that or does not discuss it with the president. That is telling. Now, I cannot enter into the mind of Jeff Sessions, nor would I want to. We don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. For me, he is a little bit of a two-stayed of a old boy Republican. I like his positions on immigration, but I think, for example, this whole issue of civil asset forfeiture, it's a whole other can of worms, but I completely disagree with him on this. I'm far greater of a civil libertarian, and I'd very much separate paths with Jeff Sessions there. So I can't get into his head. He's also a very religious guy, so that could be a factor. But in his mind, my opinion here, reading the tea leaves, Sessions, when he was being grilled in the Senate during his confirmation hearing, all of his former colleagues pressed him, "Will you recuse yourself? Will you, will you recuse yourself?" And it was a big point of contention. And Sessions told them he would. And Sessions is this kind of man of his word, and he, you know, he probably felt that he had to. I don't know if this is the reason. This is what I think, okay? And then I also think that he didn't want to deal with the criticism that would come of what the perceived conflict of interest would be between a investigation to Trump-Russia campaign collusion and him being a key member in the campaign. He just wanted to wash his hands of it. He didn't want to deal with it. Now, why he didn't tell Trump, why he didn't consult with Trump, why Trump found out about it minutes before or at the time of his public announcement, that is a problem. That is also a question of character and does not shed good light on Jeff Sessions in any way. If you're going to make a tough decision, be a man about it. Tell your guy, tell the president straight up, this is what I'm going to do. Because I believe that this is the right thing to do, and then suffer the consequences. So Trump is upset because Sessions, on one hand, is playing the moral card. It's the moral thing to do. I gave them my word. But you know what? Trump's looking at him going, hey, you know what? Pull your head out of your, you know what? A money, money. That's for you, Kai. You made a promise to me, too. You made a promise to me to have my back. And you are abandoning me, your president, in favor of your Senate colleagues. And I don't like that. That's Trump's position on this. And you know what? I agree with him. All right, hang tight. I'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky. Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The left-wing liberal outrage machine was sputtering off to a start last night and this morning. Apparently, my tweet about transgender people in the military was poorly received by some. And a hashtag was born, hashtag Fire Sam. And I just, you know who'd have to fire me, right? I mean, it was directed at the station, KABC. Poor KABC, long-suffering KABC. They have to deal with me. But you know who really the hashtag should be directed at is Sweet James. And here is why I am a lucky man, because I know that Sweet James has my back. He doesn't always agree with me. In fact, a lot of the times he thinks I'm insane. But he does believe in free speech, and he is a sponsor, and he does look out after me and just would never buy into any of that. And that is the kind of lawyer that you want. You want a lawyer that has your back, that has a principle, that will stick to that principle, that doesn't back down. That is exactly the kind of lawyer that you want. So, accident, injury, you know, if you need that, if you really want a great personal injury lawyer, not one that's sleazy or that has a cute jingle, but, you know, is going to refer you off to somebody else. If you want that guy that's going to be a mensch and take care of you, that is Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on the program. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. No, I mean it. I mean every word of it. It's exactly right. And that's, if I can digress here for a minute, that's kind of where we are right now in our society. We see this outrage machine that is just waiting to pounce on the next person that says or tweets or writes somewhere the wrong thing. And it is a form of censorship. It is a form of the very McCarthyism that we've repudiated long ago, where you're not supposed to be thrown out of your job and kicked off the air or, you know, booted because you say something that someone somewhere doesn't like. Who gets to decide, you know, what's injurious? And oftentimes, you know, it's just rabble rousers that don't like what you say and want you silenced. Not okay and not good for a healthy functioning society. If you think it's a bad idea, let it fail. Let it fail in the open marketplace of ideas. Well, I gotta say, Scaramucci, the Mooch himself, my opinion is he's killing it. He is killing it. I think he's gonna nuke everybody, or at least I gotta take him at his word. He's certainly rattling the saber. Because he is dead set to root out leakers in the White House. It is his laser focus beam on what he wants to have done. You want to know a little tidbit here that's interesting? Because I give Sessions some survivability. I do. But I give Reince Priebus about 0.1% chance of survival. Priebus is on life support. And the Mooch is going to pull the plug. You know why? You know when Scaramucci was involved in the campaign, he was a top surrogate in the campaign. And then when Trump was forming his team, his White House team, he put Reince as chief of staff. And during this time, the Mooch was expecting a position. So he sold his company. Did you know this? He cashed out of his business. And he got everything ready. You know, he just said, all right, I'm all in for the president. And Reince said no. He blocked him from coming in. So for all of the nice talk about how they're friendly and they've known each other, nonsense. It's Mooch or Reince. And Reince has had 6 months to get the job done, and he hasn't. And Trump is putting the Mooch in to clean house. And as long as Trump thinks that the Mooch is a killer and he's getting it done, by God, it's going to be Mooch that is in and Reince that is out. Trust me on this. All right, don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
This is exactly great. This is great. This is on CNN.com just now. I pulled this up. The piece is titled, "The West Wing Won't Thrive as the House of Mooch." Okay. Oh, there I go. I'm smacking my lips again. Do you know what this means? Do you know what this means? If CNN says in their opinion journalism here that the White House isn't going to do well under Scaramucci, I'm taking that as, go do it. This is great. Do exactly the opposite of what CNN says. You know, back this up a little bit. Of all the things, and by the way, this guy's, he's doing interviews left and right. He's talking to any camera that will listen. He had this insane interview that people are talking about with with the New Yorker, a guy named Ryan Liza. He made some very crude references to Steve Bannon, but alluding to the fact that Bannon's very self-serving and Reince being involved in the leaks. Look, all of this is he's sticking to a particular message, which is we're going to clean this up. We're going to get the president's agenda on track, and we're going to go after every single person that is being disloyal to the president by leaking to the media. But he had one part of one interview today with a BBC reporter whose name eludes me. What is it? Emily Maitlis. Just a BBC correspondent that's based in Washington. Now, he's doing this, and there's one part of this interview that really caught my ear. And it's because Mooch addresses kind of the fundamentals of the movement. The media, I say this over and over again, the media is so lost in chasing all these fake scandals and all these, you know, sort of short-term criticisms of Trump, truly short-term criticisms of Trump, that they forget that there was a movement and that there was something that Trump caught out there in the ether that no one else thought, you know, caught. Hillary didn't catch it. Debbie Wasserman, you know, Schultz didn't catch it. Chuck Schumer didn't catch it. Nancy Pelosi, was, you know, was having a weekend at Bernie's, didn't catch it. No one knew about it, but Trump knew it. And Mooch, in a very kind of, this is, listen, it's a very subtly self-deprecating move here, even admits that he didn't catch it. So here's what he said. Very interesting.
I spent 30 years of my life trying to get into the global elite so I could stand here and serve the president. And I missed the movement. Do you know why I missed the movement? Is I tunneled myself into elites. And we had this circular conversation about what was going on, which was completely wrong.
Donald Trump is not an elite.
Or very much so. He's both. No. He knows how to operate in an elitist world, and he has unbelievable empathy for the common struggle that's going on with the middle class people and the lower middle class people. He has something that, frankly, I don't have, and it's embarrassing to me to admit it to you on a live television show, but I missed the movement. I grew up in a middle-class family, and I didn't size the economic desperation that was taking place in my hometown.
Okay, a bit of good news.
He showed it to me.
Yeah, and this is it. I tunneled myself into the elites, and we had this circular conversation. This is what the media is doing. They're sitting there in the Washington, D.C. press club guffawing about what an idiot Trump is, and they are missing the fact that Trump's agenda is what the people want. Mooch understands that he doesn't have to make friends with the press. He doesn't have to make friends with anybody. He doesn't have to make friends with Reince Priebus. What he needs to do is get the president's agenda on track, and then everything else falls into place. Yeah, so if you hate Trump, by all means, discourage him from advancing Scaramucci in his White House, because I'm telling you, this guy is going to help Trump succeed. Big league. All right, we're out of time. God, where does the hour go? Back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Talk to you then.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.